A father promised his son a car if he would do three things: make straight A's in school, read the Bible every day, and cut his long hair. Later, the father was checking in with his son, and he said, "Son, you've made straight A's in school, you've read the Bible every day, but son, you have not cut your long hair. Why not?" Son said, "Well, Dad, Moses, Paul, Peter, they all had long hair." The dad said, "Yes, but they all walked everywhere they went." Sound advice from a sage father. If you have a son with long hair, you can use that one. That works. We have high expectations from our fathers, do we not? Several years ago, former NBA All-Star power forward Charles Barkley and a host of other NBA greats issued a statement that sent shockwaves throughout the sports world. The enigmatic Barkley and a faction of his basketball brethren adamantly claimed that they should not be looked at as role models, and he went on to say that neither he nor the aforementioned players deserve the title and ever once asked for or solicited that honor. Well, the media jumped all over this statement, making this controversial comment a hot topic for talk shows and religious groups nationwide. Opposition to Barkley's claim quickly pointed to his fame and fortune as a requirement for role model status, especially with the large number of impressionable adolescents and teenagers who were watching these players' every move. Was Barkley correct? I mean, if neither he nor the movie stars and sports stars and song and dance stars are not our children's role models and examples, then who is? Isn't the father's role among his family members to be his children's role model and example? So how and where does the father learn that role? Someone once shared this poem. I think it's perfect for Father's Day, and it's called "Little Eyes Upon You." Here's what it says. It says, "There are little eyes upon you, and they're watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in everything you say. There are little hands all eager to do everything you do. And a little boy that's dreaming of the day he'll be like you. You're the little fellow's idol. You're the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicions ever rise. He believes in you devoutly, holds that all you say and do, he will say and do in your way when he's grown up just like you. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right. And his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. You are setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up to be like you." Fathers, do we understand, embrace, and cherish our roles as examples and models and disciples for all of our children? The Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible defines these fatherly roles and responsibilities according to an ancient biblical model as, first, providing for the spiritual well-being of the family. Now, Job fulfilled this role and responsibility admirably for his children by sanctifying them and then praying to God for them, as read in Job 1, verse 5. I can remember at a young age when I first read the book of Job, and I felt terrible for this guy. And I remember reading that first chapter, and it's strange. I didn't know how old I was. I remember thinking how great of a dad he must have been, that every day he would go before the Lord and seek forgiveness for what his kids would have done, and he would sanctify them and ask God to set them apart for his service. Now, I remember being at a young age, never having kids at this point, and thinking that I would do this as a father. Today, I can look all of you in the eye and say, I was trying to think about this week, because this is Father's Day week, a week in which we think about all of our roles and responsibilities, and I was trying to think if I've ever dropped the ball or missed a day where I have not prayed for my children and their well-being, and also that they would be set apart for God's service. I can't remember a day that I've missed, but I will tell you this, and this is important. Job became my role model. Job became my example. Because I believe that if he cared about his children, I should too. And I would use that as a perfect example of how to look out and pray for my very own children that they would be safe. It's not only restricted to that. You see, in the second and third examples in biblical times, the father was also responsible for the economic and also personal well-being of the family. Fathers, the question is, are we? The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 5:8, he says, anyone who won't care for his own relatives when they need help, especially those living in his own family, has no right to say he's a Christian. Such a person is worse than the heathen. Simply put, these were the father's roles, and his children were to model that behavior until the time came for them to experience fatherhood. Fathers, my question today is this. Regarding the economic and personal and spiritual well-being of our family, have we accepted the role and responsibility that Charles Barkley and company have rejected? In essence, do we look today and say, I want to be my kid's role model. I want to be my children's example. The term role model was coined by a guy named Robert K. Merton. There you go. There's your name that you can throw out, useless information. Robert K. Merton was the guy that came up with the term role model. He claimed that individuals compare themselves with reference groups of people who occupy the role in which the individual aspires. If we aspire to be fathers, who can we look to as our role models and examples? Let's look at our sermon text today. I think it's going to answer our question perfectly. We're going to look at Ephesians 5, 1 through 4. And folks, if you brought your Bibles, and I encourage you to always bring your Bibles, if you brought them and you have something to write with, here's what I want you to do. On Ephesians 5, I just want you to write above that. It's okay to write in your Bible, make a lot of notes in your Bible. That's a good thing. But right above Ephesians 5, just put family. Because that's what Ephesians 5 is all about. It's about family. It's about the relationship that husbands have with their wives. It's about the relationship that sons and daughters have with their parents. But it's more than that. It's also about the relationship that Jesus Christ has with the church. But in these first four verses, we're going to really talk about the relationship that we have as role models and what we learn from our Heavenly Father. Here's what it says. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Follow God's example in everything you do, just as a much-loved child imitates his father. Be full of love for others, following the example of Christ who loved you and gave himself to God as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And God was pleased, for Christ's love for you was like sweet perfume to him. Let there be no sex sin, impurity, or greed among you. Let no one be able to accuse you of any such things. Dirty stories, foul talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, remind each other of God's goodness and be thankful. Jotham followed the Lord like his father Uzziah. We read about this in 2 Kings 15, 34 and 35. Solomon was told to obey the laws of God by his father, King David. Read about that in 1 Kings 2, 1 through 4. And one can ascertain that Paul's message in Ephesians 5, 1 through 4 is a plea to fathers everywhere to follow God's example in all that we do, much like a loved child imitates his father. And there we see the establishment, and right here we see the establishment of that fatherly role model and example that us fathers should want and covet today. Earthly fathers, our model and example starts with our Heavenly Father. You see, God is our ultimate example and model. You can look back, and dads, you can say, maybe my dad wasn't the greatest role model. You might be able to go back and say, maybe my grandfather wasn't the greatest example. But we can never go back and say that God Almighty was never the most perfect and wonderful example and role model. He is who we pattern our lives after. Fathers, this is what we use to determine how to raise our children. Jesus says in John 5, 19, to reiterate this point, he says, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father, capital F, doing, and in the same way. Jesus essentially was saying this, I follow what my dad does. What my father does, I do, and it should be good enough. If it's good enough for me, should be good enough for all of you. This is what we subscribe to today. In John 8, 28, Jesus again defers to his Father, saying, I have spoken what the Father taught me. Fathers, are we worth copying and emulating? Christian author J.B. Phillips claims that, quote, as children copy their fathers, fathers are to copy God. This model is not only biblical, Ephesians 5, verse 1. Folks, this model is successful. It works. Dads, if you say this, if you say, I'm going to follow the example given to me by my heavenly Father, I can promise you this, it will work. If you question how to raise your children, if you are at that place where your kids are babies and you're saying, I want to be the best father that I can be, I can promise you this model works. It's successful because it's biblical. Today, more than ever, we need a great, great model. Now, why does it work? It works because God is everything we fathers are not, but should want to be. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 48, he says, but you are to be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, I know what you might be thinking, dads, because I would be thinking this, and that is, I can't be perfect. I failed yesterday, and I failed the day before, and I know you did too, and we're all in this sea together, swimming together, you fathers and I. And here's the problem. We can't be perfect, but we can strive to be perfect. And we can live to seek that perfection as Christians. You see, fathers, this is our goal. This is our benchmark. Fathers, this is how we make our mark. Jesus says in John 13, 15, I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Where did Jesus get his perfect example? He got it. He learned it. And he exemplified it through his all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful Heavenly Father. And Jesus, because of this, became an earthly father's second perfect model and example. You see, dads, you get a real break here. Because dads, if you say, you know what, I want to be that biblical model, I want to be that spiritual example, I can tell you this, you have two perfect models and examples. Every time you read your scriptures, you will see those perfect models in God the Father and Jesus Christ the Savior. That's who we emulate our lives after. That's who we watch. That's who we follow. And that's what we do. Isaiah 55, 9 tells us that God's wisdom is higher than any man's. Fathers, that means that we are fully obligated in our fatherhood to defer to him. And fathers, that means that when we choose to make our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ our Savior role models and examples, perhaps and more than likely, our children will honor us with those same titles. Isn't that what you want? Dads, is that important to you? Can you imagine your kid being in school and the teacher comes by and says, today, children, today, we are going to have you name your role models and examples. Charles Barkley would say, don't say my name. Can you imagine, dads, if you heard your son or daughter say, my role model and my example is my father? How much would that mean to you? I want that title. I want that distinction. I want it because I'm a dad and because I'm a Christian. I long to hear those words. So fathers, because this is what we want to hear, my question is, how do we get there? You see, fathers, and this is going to make you feel good. This is going to make you feel good. Because fathers, you are likely already role models and examples based on what you do secularly and earthly. It's true. See, I always thought my dad was the best farmer I'd ever met. I thought he was incredible. I didn't know anything about farming. But I would watch my dad work and I'd say, that's the best farmer. He's got the straightest rows. He works us like indentured servants, so his beans always look the best. There's never a weed. He mows his ditches. His ditches look like a yard. I mean, he taught me all of those things regarding work ethic. Now, I know nothing about farming, but my dad did a really good job of showing me what good farming looks like. But you can look at your father, I'm guessing from a secular, earthly standpoint, you could say, that was my role model. That was my example. And it may be based on work ethic or your dad's career path. It could be his sense of humor. It could be his financial status, his hobbies, his interests. And those things are good things to be and to follow as sons and daughters. These are the things you could pattern your life after, but that's not all. There is, dads, we got to strive for more. Dads, there's so much more. I'm a public relations director of a group of funeral homes in the state of Illinois. I honestly don't care if my kids follow that pattern at all. In fact, I'm going to probably encourage them not to. So stressed out. I don't need that stress. But I will tell them this. You don't have to be the public relations director of a group of funeral homes. But you need to be the strongest Christian in God's home. That's what they need to be. That's the role model and the example that I want to set for them. You see, the Apostle Paul takes the status of fatherly role model and example even further. And he doesn't stop there. And in fact, if we read verse 2, look at this. He says, be full of love for others, following the example of Christ who loved you and gave himself to God as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And God was pleased, for Christ's love for you was like sweet perfume to him. Fathers, if you want to ramp this up, if you want to take this up, fathers, if you say this, I love that my son and my daughter thinks of me as a role model based on my sense of humor or my career choice or my career path or my hobbies or my interests, I can tell you this, it's not enough. It's all about love. You see, that's how you ramp it up. Dads, this is how you make a difference. We are to love others. There's your first biblical model and example. We are to love others. This was a Heavenly Father approved way that his son lived. Fathers, we must show our children the kind of universal and spiritual love that Jesus Christ did. This is not easy, not in this world. Folks, there's a lot of unlovely people in this world. It gets harder and harder every day to love people in this world. It's true. The other day we were driving down, it was downtown Bloomington, and this car pulled right out in front of us. Right out in front of us. Cam's driving because she's so low-key, it doesn't matter to her, and I reach over and slam the horn on. And the kids are like, and I said, did you see what they did? It's like they meant to do it. That was a good example. That was a good example. That was good. That was good. Remember I told you I'm not perfect? There it is. There it is. There it is. Just one of many. Just one. You should have seen the look Cam gave me. Ooh, that was not good. We are to love others, and sometimes people just aren't that lovely. Sometimes I'm not that lovely. It's true. It's true. Fathers, do we show our children this kind of love? I want to read you a passage. And folks, I know what you're thinking because you got to think it. Because we always read it. Here we go again. We're going to do it again. You should have this memorized by now. We're going to read Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Perhaps one of the most memorable and impressionable passages in all of Scripture. So here we go. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. We're talking about the example and model of loving others. So here's what it is, and this is an important passage, and again, let's set it up. The Pharisees were trying to get Jesus in trouble. They wanted to arrest him. They wanted to get rid of him, and so they came up with this really good idea. And so they send this guy in today. He would be looked at as an attorney that's probably not well-liked. And so they send him in to ask Jesus this question. And the question is this. He says, Sir, Jesus, which is the most important command in the law of Moses? He was sure that he had him this time. Jesus replied this way, Matthew 22, 37 through 40. We read it all the time. He says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second most important is similar. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Jesus says, all the other commandments, all the demands of the prophets stem from these two laws that are fulfilled if you obey them. Keep only these, you'll find that you're obeying all the others. Here's an example. A young man was getting ready to graduate from college. For many months, he'd admired a beautiful sports car in a dealer's showroom. And knowing his father could well afford it, he told him that was all he wanted. As graduation day approached, the young man awaited signs that his father had purchased the car. Finally, on the morning of his graduation, his father called him into his private study. His father told him how proud he was to have such a fine son and told him how much he loved him. He handed his son a beautifully wrapped gift box. Curious and somewhat disappointed, the young man opened the box and found a lovely leather-bound Bible with the young man's name embossed in gold. Angry, the son rose his voice to his father and said, "With all of your money and you give me a Bible? And he stormed out of the house, leaving that Bible behind. Many years passed, the young man was very successful in business. He had a beautiful home and a wonderful family, but realized that his father was very old and thought perhaps he should go to him. He had not seen him since that graduation day. Before he could make arrangements, he received a phone call telling him that his father had passed away and willed all of his possessions to his son. He needed to come home immediately and take care of those things. When he arrived at his father's house, sudden sadness and regret filled his heart. He began to search through his father's important papers, and there he saw that Bible, just as he had left it years ago. With tears, he opened the Bible and began to turn the pages. His father had carefully underlined a verse, Matthew 7:11, which says, "And if ye, being evil, know how to give gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give to those who ask him?" As he read those words, a car key dropped from the back of the Bible. It had a tag with the dealer's name, the same dealer who had the sports car that he had desired. On the tag was the date of this son's graduation and the words, "Paid in full." How many times do we miss God's blessings because we can't see past our own desires? How many times have we missed the message of love our Father sent us as role models? Verse 3 says this, "Let there be no sex sin, impurity, or greed among you. Let no one be able to accuse you of any such things, dirty stories, foul talk, and coarse jokes. These are not for you." Fathers, we are not only to be role models and examples in how we love, but we are also called to be role models and examples in how we live. Are we guilty of exemplifying this behavior as fathers? Proverbs 20, verse 7 says this, "It is a wonderful heritage to have an honest father." Fathers, let me ask you this. When are we most honest with ourselves and our Heavenly Father and our Savior? And I think I know the answer to this question. It is when, in our honesty, in our humility, we confess these very sins and repent of these sins that have plagued our lives as fathers and subsequently have misled and confused our sons and daughters. You see, dads, when we determine this, when we, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, say this, when we say, "God, I have failed you. I have sinned against you. I have done things that aren't pleasing to you, and I have done things that you've told me specifically not to do." When we go before our Heavenly Father and we say, "I'm guilty. I made a mistake. And I need your forgiveness. And I need your compassion. And I need to repent. And I need to change my life. And you're the only one that can help me change my life." And when that happens, fathers, this is when you are at your most vulnerable and honest point. This is what God wants from us. This is the honesty and humility that God wants from us. In John 15:5, Jesus was absolutely correct. He said, "For apart from me, you can't do a thing." Fathers, we know, apart from Jesus, it's hard to do anything, but especially to be this honest. Fathers, are we role models and examples to our children in how we love and how we live? Fathers, are we role models and examples in what we think about? Look at the second half of verse 4. It says this, "Instead, remind each other of God's goodness and be thankful." Do our children know that we are thinking about God and His Son? They will know about it if you talk about it. They'll know about it if you speak about it. They'll know about it if you pray about it. They'll know about it if you read it. And they hear you reading it. And they hear you referring to it. And they see you living it. See, this is how our children will know if we're thinking about God. Talk to them about it. When you have opportunities, share with them about it. I love the opportunities that God gives for us as a family to spend time talking about God and His Son and what He can do for all of us. I love our little short 7-minute drive from Fox Creek Subdivision to Covell when I can turn around and look in the back seat and say, girls, is this your favorite day? Yes, Dad, every Sunday I do it. Yes, Dad, it's my favorite day. We love Sundays. We love church. Why? And then they get to talk about it. This and these are the moments that I cherish. This is what we have to do. We have to let our children know that regarding God, we're thinking about him. We're living for him. And we love him. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:8, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Fathers, these are God's good things. And based on Ephesians 5, verse 4, our thinking about God should move us to keep thanking God. Do we thank God for the very children that he's given us? Because God has blessed you. Every single father in this church today, he has blessed you with some amazing children. Today, we have to thank our Heavenly Father for giving us those fathers who raised us and groomed us as children. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he says, no matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Fathers, are we teaching our children to think about God and thank God in all circumstances? Do our children see us living like Jesus and loving like Jesus and everyone around us? Pastor Tony Evans shares this account. He says, two little girls one day were acting very badly. They were misbehaving. It was on Thanksgiving Day, and their father told them, girls, go to your room. You are dismissed from Thanksgiving dinner. The girls went dejected and sad to their rooms. A few moments later, they heard their mother calling, girls, girls, come down to dinner, girls. A little baffled in light of what their father had said, they sheepishly and embarrassingly walked down to the dinner table and sat down. But they noticed something. Dad was not there. So they naturally asked, Mother, where's Dad? Dad went to his room. But why, Mom? Because Dad loves you so much, he couldn't change his standard. But he also didn't want to deny you dinner. So Dad said he would go and he would pay the price so that you could come and eat the meal. So while you enjoy the meal, girls, remember that your dad has picked up the tab and is paying for your penalty. Evan says, brothers and sisters, when you forget to say thanks for everything else, don't forget to say thanks for Jesus. Fathers, that charge is on us. Charles Barkley and a host of other NBA players didn't want to be role models and examples to today's children. Fathers, do we? Are we willing to live and love and think about and thank God the Father and our Savior for the very children they have entrusted us with? Someone once said that the best inheritance a father can leave his children is a good example. Follow God's example in everything you do, just as a much-loved child imitates his father. If your father was not a good role model or example, it doesn't mean that you can't be. If your father was a good role model or example, it doesn't necessarily mean that you will be. But God wants us to be, and our children need us to be. They need us to be the godly role models, fathers, and examples that Scripture tells us and tells them to be. Fathers, it's not too late to be our children's role model and example. And so today I close with this. I've thought about this all week. Get to spend time with my kids. Yesterday we worked out in the yard. I watched them work like I've never seen two kids work harder in my life. So we came in last night. I said, girls, I am amazed by what you did. Never complain. I always complained. I always complained. Never got mad. I always got mad. My dad yesterday called up and he said, we were talking and he said, I can't believe you worked those kids that hard. And I said, you worked me that hard. I said, you were the one riding the tractor with the cultivator while Chris and I were out there with hoes chopping down weeds in 80-acre fields. Grandparents. Oh, my heavens, you grandparents. Unbelievable. But I watched it yesterday, and I watched my kids. And so we came in last night. We were eating Subway. That's what you have to do when you work outside all day. We were eating Subway, and I said, girls, I just want to tell you how proud I am of you. I can't believe how hard you worked today. You didn't complain. You smiled. You did everything we asked you. I said, I'm just blown away. I said, so you get a raise in your allowance. We're doing that. I said, you can stay up as late as you want tonight. I don't care. Go nuts. That was great. Jada, especially, that was great. And I said, I looked at that, and I said to myself, this is what makes a father happy, is when he sees his kids following an example. Now, that example was set by a work ethic. But, folks, that's not enough for me, and I hope, dads, it's not enough for you. You see, our example has to be that we will be disciples. That's what we have to be, dads. This world, I think, fathers, we can all universally agree, this world needs fathers who are role models and examples and disciples. We're going to close today with something that, this is neat. I've not seen it, but I can tell you that when Dan gets his hands on anything, let me just share this story, because Amy, you did this for Mother's Day, so this is kind of cool, and Amy keeps coming up with these ideas. So the idea was that Amy said, I want to put a video together for the fathers in the church. And so, fathers, you took a part of this because you had to send video or send pictures in. So collaborative efforts, Amy came up with the idea, Dan puts this video together, and folks, today, you fathers are going to get to see a tribute that's given to all the fathers in the Covell Community Church by thought and by video. So here we go. This is how we'll close our service today. Amy, great job. Dan, great video. Fathers, you mean a lot. And again, I think that video captures so much of what our fathers are all about right here in this Covell Community Church. Thank you for the examples that you set. Thank you for being role models. Continue to live up to those high standards that God has put before us. And with that said, let's stand and close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to honor our fathers today, and today we prioritize you first as our Heavenly Father. I pray that we fathers would follow the pattern, the example, the role model that you've put before us, and I pray that we will follow Scripture and what you tell us and how you tell us to live and love, and think about, and thank you and others. And I pray today that we would follow that example. Thank you for the love that emanates among our children, among our families and friends, and today we are reminded of the impact that you've had upon the fathers that gather right here in this congregation. Help us each day to love our children more, and help us each day to put you first on our list of priorities for whom we are to love and whom we are to serve. Thank you for everything. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.